I think that this is a really important subject, and I spend time in Washington trying to either make it easier for the consumer to buy products that aren't carcinogenic and toxic free, as well as trying to gain regulations so that we have more awareness of what chemicals are being inundated in our lives on a daily basis. And my organization, Cancer Schmanza Movement, has a great new program called Detox Your Home, and it's a prevention program where we're getting the conversation going in America by teaching Americans how to detox their home, which is the most toxic place we spend the most time in and ironically have the most control over.
Got a question for you, folks. Do you remember what they used to call Sarnia in Lambton County? Years ago, if you're real young, you won't remember this. They used to call Sarnia and Lambton. In fact, they had it on the brochures. The Chemical Valley.
Mm-hmm.
You notice they don't call Sarnia the Chemical Valley anymore because we as a society are starting to understand chemicals can be hazardous to our health. In fact, folks, the voice you just heard is that of actress Fran Drescher, who is one of the soldiers leading the cause to warn society about the dangers of chemicals. We have a revolution getting underway, blowback against dangerous chemicals. Pam Colleen is in the house this morning. Good morning, Pam. We have a number of events over the coming days right here in London that are going to speed up this revolution.
That's right. Next week's show, Andy, is going to be loaded because we have Dr. Terry Vrain, who's joining us. He's a former pro-biotechnology scientist who is now anti-biotechnology. He's joining us next week, and Dr. James Beck is also joining us to talk about the dangers of fluoride. And the reason why I'm coupling these two up for next Thursday's show is because on Saturday, May 24th, there's two big events in London. Number one, at 1:30 at Victoria Park, there's the March Against Monsanto. And there's a Facebook page for that. It's called March Against Monsanto, London, Ontario. So 1:30, Victoria Park, Saturday, May 24th. And then following that, Citizens Inquest is hosting an event with Dr. James Beck. He's going to be Skyped in for a talk about the problems with fluoride. And it's going to be held at the Vitali Lounge at King's College at 4 p.m. So, and this is co-sponsored by the UWO Center for Social Concern. So we have a very loaded day on Saturday and a loaded show on Thursday.
What is driving the revolution against chemicals?
I think people are starting to question. I think people are realizing, you know, they're putting these chemicals out in the environment and there's virtually no testing to see what the health consequences will be. And I think people are fed up with being used as guinea pigs.
And we're not getting the truth about chemicals, which is the absolutely...
We've seen it. The scientists here in Canada protested. They had the funeral service in Ottawa about 2 years ago, if you recall. Remember?
Yep.
It was the death of science. They're saying, what's Harper doing to our scientific community? He's basically muzzling the science. And essentially, and we've had Chris Turner on the show who wrote a book about this. And essentially, there's tons of censorship going on. They're basically saying, you know, see no evil, hear no evil. If we just don't test the water supply, there's no problem, right? And, you know, there is a problem.
We have more and more soldiers, as it were, joining the cause, and we're about to meet one of the lieutenants. Would you introduce Ed Brown, if you would?
Ed Brown is a busy man. He's a father and a filmmaker, and he has just released his documentary, Unacceptable Levels. Unacceptable Levels. What a great title. So congratulations on your film.
Mr. Brown, welcome to Canada. Welcome to Canada. How are you?
Great. Thank you for having me. I've always enjoyed going back to Canada. And even whenever I'm on a radio show, it makes me feel like I'm right back there. And it's a beautiful country filled with beautiful people.
Well, there we go. Boy, you could run for something with a line like that. Ed, give me the moment where you said, you know, I've got kids and I want them to be healthy. I want my grandkids to be healthy. So there's an issue that I really need to do something about. Was there a moment that got you traveling down this road?
Yeah, there was. There was a progression of about 10 years, actually. It was just a thought that I had in my head about chemicals. And I kept hearing the same thing, that there's an acceptable level of whatever it is in just about everything. And then it was after my wife had two miscarriages out of three pregnancies that I sat back and I really started doing some research, and then I realized that this is a massive, every individual, every person problem, across the board for each and every single one of us. And then whenever I discovered that kids were born with 232 synthetic industrial pollutants inside their bodies starting on day one, I started thinking that this couldn't possibly be the reality that we were hoping for.
And that was when that revelation hit, Ed. You know, when you and this research was done, I don't know, about 10 or more years ago, where they were testing, for example, the umbilical cords of babies, and in the umbilical cords they were finding dozens or hundreds of these chemicals. And the chemical industry has been telling us for years that these compounds go right through us, that we don't hold on to them. And of course, we found, unfortunately, that this is simply not true.
Yeah, that is the case. There have been numerous studies that have been doing this kind of research for some years, obviously, and that's a great thing. But unfortunately, as we're all holding right now, this what it's called is the body burden. We're all holding these chemicals inside of our bodies right now. Some chemicals pass through quite easily. BPA does. It can be almost out of your body nearly completely after a few days after you were exposed, and then about 5 days later, then your levels are going to be extremely low. But then there's other chemicals like flame retardants, which are also known as organohalogens, that stick in your body permanently. And we start to know that now. So, yeah, there's definitely varying degrees and how your body's affected by it and my body's affected by these chemicals. That's really the question.
Ed, let me just jump in. You've just given an example of chemicals that most people would never even think of being in their homes, even in their pillowcases and their bed sheets. Let's pick the example that you just gave, flame retardants.
Yeah, flame retardants are an extremely, I hate to use a term like this, but it's a hot button issue right here in the States, and it probably is across the globe. Flame retardants, also known as organohalogens, basically all of the foam padding that is in every single item that's produced across the entire country here in the United States has a degree of flame retardants in it. It has to meet a particular kind of standard. And every time you sit on it, every time you lay on it, so if it's your sofa, if it's a recliner, if it's your bed, if it's a crib mattress for a baby, they feel kind of wet if you were to touch the foam in it. And they're wet because of a lot of different chemicals, depending on what it's made out of, a flame retardant being one of those. And they will go into your body, and your body doesn't have the ability to get it out. So that's where this is becoming a focal point for this chemical conversation here in the States. Why? Because it's extremely dangerous, and it's in every single person in this country.
You got me. I just, I had a little, you pushed a button, my guilt button. Tomorrow, a furniture company is going to be delivering a recliner chair to my mother-in-law. We went out and got it with her last Friday, and we looked at whether the headrest was adjustable, whether the lumbar... Never even crossed my mind to ask what chemicals are in the flame retardant in this recliner.
You really said it. Nobody really thinks about that, right? I mean, whenever you go out and you're going to buy an item, especially if it doesn't say right on the label, contains flame retardants, and these might be the exposure levels that you're expecting, and this might be the risk factor. If that's not actually on the side of the item, you don't know. And that's really part of the problem here, isn't it? If you don't know what you're buying and they don't have to tell you, then how can you make a reasonable, well-informed buying decision?
Mm-hmm. Tell me they don't put flame retardants in children's PJs.
Actually, they had been doing that for quite some time, and it had been phased out. I believe it was 3 to 5 years ago. So they're not really putting it in pajamas anymore. Which is a good thing, but it's still in a lot of crib mattresses, and the child might be laying on that for 8 to 10, maybe 15 hours if they sleep really well every single day. So it's not as if we've created a perfect scenario for that, but pajamas at least have gotten it taken out for the most part.
We're talking about a lot of everyday items here, though, Ed. So, we're talking about cleaning products. We're talking about skincare products. Where is the scrutiny when it comes to our immediate exposure to a lot of these day-to-day products? Who's overseeing a lot of this?
Well, unfortunately, we believe that we have a lot of government oversight whenever it comes to the products that we're bringing. We're purchasing and inviting into our homes and thus into our body. We're under that impression that every single time we go and pick up an item inside of the store, that someone has had some degree of understanding that this has gone through rigorous testing and that somebody out there, somebody knows the truth and somebody will be able to provide that to me in the event that I look into it, right? And unfortunately, with 80,000 chemicals out there, that simply isn't the case. The Toxic Substances Control Act in the United States, enacted in 1976, grandfathered in 60,000 chemicals that had almost no testing whatsoever. Most people, whenever those chemicals were created over the course of decades, they were generally regarded as safe. And because we really felt like, these chemicals are so small, they really could do a heck of a lot of damage. And in the event that they did, that means it was just because of a high exposure. What we used to think is that the dose makes the poison. What we understand now is that the dose doesn't necessarily make the poison at all. You could have something at an incredibly low level at parts per billion or trillion, and they could have an extensive amount of damage. And unfortunately, it's taken a lot of heavy lifting from our nonprofits and NGOs out there across this country and in Canada to come up with that information. And unfortunately, it's not provided readily by the government.
Ed, let me ask you this. Are you convinced that the two miscarriages that you and your wife suffered were related to chemicals?
That's a terrific question. And I would say unequivocally, no. I have no evidence whatsoever as to what could have caused that. And I wouldn't even suggest that one way or another. What I will say is that it was the catalyst for myself and moving forward and trying to learn more about this subject and then create a film around it. It was the point where I sat back and said, even if that's not what caused this miscarriage, we know a lot of chemicals do cause spontaneous miscarriage. We even created a pharmaceutical drug to prevent spontaneous miscarriage that actually caused more, called DES, diethylstilbestrol. And so fundamentally what it comes down to is, no, I don't believe that I have any understanding, any greater understanding at this point as to what caused my wife's two miscarriages in any way, shape, or form.
It led me down
a rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm. Ed, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we started the tour, and I'm wondering if you could take us for just a two-minute tour of our homes and our garages and our pantries and our medicine cabinets where to talk about chemicals and areas that we may never even have thought of where chemicals are getting into our bodies. I didn't think about flame retardants in this recliner chair. I didn't think about flame retardants not being in the PJs, but in the crib mattress on which the baby sleeps so many hours a day. We just had a grandson 2 days ago, perfectly healthy. We're so thankful for that. But we see health issues all around us that are going unexplained, including my 2-year-old cousin who died recently from cancer. We need some explanations, and chemicals are at the top of the list of items we should be asking questions about. Movie maker Ed Brown, who produced the movie Unacceptable Levels, back with us in just a moment, along with Pam Colleen, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. We're talking about chemicals in your house. We're talking about chemicals in your car. Don't you love that new car smell and the chemical you can buy to spray in your car? We're talking about chemicals and their effect on your health. We're in conversation with Pam Colleen and a movie maker, Ed Brown, who's produced a new movie, Unacceptable Levels, and we have a lot of Hollywood actors who are supporting it because it draws attention to this whole issue of chemicals. Ed, let me just ask you, if there were two things that I were going to say right now to drive all my friends on the farm crazy, I mean absolutely crazy, they would faint if I mentioned them in the same sentence. Number one, did you know that some of the farmers around Mount Bridges have their crops planted? That already, they would just cringe over that because we're having a lot of rain here, and so the farm year has been delayed. Here's the thing that would totally push them over the edge to my farming friends. Did you know there's going to be a march against Monsanto in London in the coming days? Now, Pam, let's just set this up. Why a march against Monsanto?
Well, people are very concerned about genetically engineered foods, corporately controlled food supply. They're also concerned about the increase in the use of sprays like glyphosate into the environment and what that effect is having on wildlife, on our ecosystem, in our water supply, and so on. And I know in your movie, Ed, you featured Tyrone Hayes, and he's done quite a bit of research into the effects of some of these agricultural sprays in terms of even frogs and their health.
That's correct. He did a direct study on atrazine whenever
it was atrazine. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, he's paid for by Syngenta to do that. And what he discovered is that atrazine changes the sex of frogs very readily, and it also castrates them as well, and it really harms them reproductively. And it was an amazing study. And, I'm glad you made reference to that. Tyrona was an amazing part of the film.
Well, but there's research showing the connection between glyphosate and cancer as well. And, of course, the industry just fought back big time when that research came out. They do not want any association with health consequences.
Well, and why would they? You know, I mean, let's consider it for a moment. In the event that a study like that comes out linking it to cancer, then at that point, if that study gets big enough and you don't do enough damage control as far as your PR is concerned, then you find yourself in a tailspin as far as your stock price is concerned, and then your next quarterly statement is going to look terrible. So, glyphosate is a component of Roundup, and Roundup is the trade name for the chemical that's being used in an agricultural sense and across our lawns. Most people don't realize that that chemical Roundup is found, and glyphosate being a part of it, is found in almost all breast milk in mothers across the country. So where is that coming from in the event that you're not living beside this massive agricultural land? A lot of it is being sprayed directly onto our lawns every single year. And a few times we've used that as an application to kill the weeds. And that's where we find ourselves at this point. It's a dangerous scenario.
Ed, as a kid on the farm, I was raised with two words, which I heard more often than the phrase, get your butt out of bed, it's time to hoe tomatoes. And those two words were Roundup and atrazine. Now, I'm jarred by what you're saying about the realities of these two, but let's talk about Monsanto. What is Monsanto doing with chemicals that seriously threatens our health and welfare?
Well, I think Monsanto, what they've done, they've transitioned from a chemical company into a seed company very well a few years ago. And now the idea is that they are no longer a chemical company, that they're a seed company. So they're creating transgenic seeds that are going to be grown all across the world. And they also own patents, not just in their own seeds, but in their competitor seeds. So DuPont and Dow, they still have to pay for that patented technology that's going straight to Monsanto. And what we've done in a federal sense, we subsidized this one particular company to create, our food supply. And they have a degree of control over it. And, you know, where we're at right now with them and the chemicals, and let's not miss words. Transgenic agriculture is just another chemical delivery system. And so, you know, they've bred insecticides and herbicides and pesticides directly into the DNA and portions of whatever the plant is. So if it's corn, soy, or cotton, or sugar beets, you know, that technology is right in there. So you're going to be eating the insecticide or herbicide or pesticide or fungicide, and there's no way you're going to wash that out.
What evidence do we have, that already is causing serious health consequences?
You can only extrapolate it and suggest one way or another, since there aren't a lot of... I mean, there are some studies done, absolutely. Eric Giles Cirillini in France had a tremendous study where he was looking at lab rats and just using glyphosate and Roundup and control rats and stuff like that. You could sit back and say, after that long-term study that he did, there's enough evidence to state that there's a really serious problem with just this one particular product. But we can always say this, you know, what else can we suggest as far as children's allergies are concerned about, the stomach itself is such a sensitive area, and it's very good at what it does. Whenever it's trying to break down these types of chemicals in it, there are a number of studies out there that suggest inflammation caused by these particular plants are causing harm to individuals. So, you know, as far as that is concerned, there's still a long way to go, but we still have some evidence. I'm sure Pam could share some as well.
Well, let me ask you about specific issues. You mentioned allergies. Let me raise the issue of autism. Some very frightening numbers recently that we're now in a situation where one in 68 babies has symptoms. What other health issues are you convinced are directly related to the, what is it, 80,000 chemicals which flow through our system of commerce?
Well, let's think about it. The one really telling statistic is one in every two men and one in every three women will have cancer in their lifetime. That's a staggering statistic to consider. It is one in every four deaths in this country in the United States. And that's not going to be, and there's not a lot of mystery to attach to that, in my estimation. I'm sure that they could do a lot of PR spin on what I'm saying and suggest otherwise. However, I will say this. We're living longer, but we're not living better. We are the sickest generation in the history of this planet, even if our timeline and the time that we're spending here is a lot longer. So we have to really sit back, and that's what the point of this film is. Let's sit back and really understand more about what this chemical-intensive world is that we're living in.
Yeah, but we become, for criticizing chemicals, though, Ed, we become heretics because, unfortunately, we do adversely affect the bottom line and the profits of these companies that are promoting these chemicals. But, we're trying to suggest, of course, that Mother Nature is the true solution to a lot of the problems we're seeing today. But, we become heretics in suggesting so. Your movie addresses a list of chemicals, GMOs, fluoride, drugs. I mean, you're going after a lot of the chemicals that are out there that have profits attached to them.
Well, that's absolutely a fact. And I don't go after the companies themselves. I think the pitchfork and the torch, it can be effective, writing to your congressperson, your senator, the president, what have you, here in the States and putting pressure inside the Beltway is still a completely necessary element to this conversation. But for me and my perspective, we still have to take steps immediately inside of our own homes, just like Fran Drescher had suggested, who's a friend of mine, and we've been working together for over a year now. To understand more about that is all of our responsibility.
Yeah. Before the break, Andy wanted to talk about some of these everyday items.
Yeah, let's take the little tour of the house, Ed, if you would, because there are a lot of items in our house whether WD-40, just all these products that we buy. For example, I have one sink that's been a little clogged lately, and I'm thinking of stopping by Canadian Tire my way home today and buying some chemical assistance like Drano. Let's take a tour of the house, Ed, and tell us about chemicals that we should be highly suspicious of.
Well, I always start with our cleaning products. They contain a lot of VOCs, which are volatile organic compounds that are located in the surfactants and other aspects of what you're spraying to clean with. So those chemicals, although they're masked with perfumes and other, fragrances and stuff like that, which are proprietary and have their own issues associated with them, what you're not smelling are the caustic materials. And the carcinogens in those. So what you're cleaning with, whenever you make a mess or you try to decide to clean your drain, what you're smelling is something that is quite different than what your brain is accepting it as. So your cleaning products to your let's go to your bathroom, your personal care products. Every single woman exposes themselves to 126 unique synthetic chemicals before they walk outside the door every single day. They don't know that. It takes about 26 seconds once you put on perfume or deodorant. Or eye makeup or anything like that, it becomes systemic and goes into your bloodstream. Not all of it, but about 60 to 70% of it does. So your skin is a great barrier, but it works a lot like a sponge. And then you go to your refrigerator and you look around at the chemicals that are in, the synthetic chemicals that are in food coloring and in food additives and the sugars that are in there that might be completely artificial, and what damage they might be doing. And then you go to bed at night and you think, I'm going to rest and forget about toxic chemicals and just go to sleep and not worry about this stuff anymore, and not realizing that, yes, again, there's a lot of different plastics and plasticizers along with the flame retardants that are a part of the mattresses and pillows that we're sleeping on. So we're living in a very, very toxic environment inside of our homes where the air quality is 4 to 6 times worse inside than it is outside.
So what is Fran Drescher doing with her organization in terms of educating people about how to detoxify their home? What are the alternatives?
Well, I love her organization's called, and I try to do her accent. It's Cancer Samantha, and they what since she had a very specific kind of cancer herself, she looked at the environmental impacts and what that could have done to her. And Cancer Samantha has done an amazing job of working with teenagers, working with women across the board, and educating individuals about what this issue really means and what you can do about it to take steps to make really significant changes in your own lives.
Let me just ask you to run down the health issues that you think are related to all the chemicals we've been talking about. Give me the top five.
I think you'd have to say, you know, cancer would always be at the top. And that's one we can directly attribute environmental causes to. You know, whenever it comes to arthritis and inflammation in our body, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why that happens. And our understanding of it is starting to grow. You got Parkinson's disease. You know, I would, as far as autism is concerned, that's one that really has a lot of question marks around it. I would love to sit back and say, here's a study. And there are studies out there that suggest it, just like government Superfund sites. We know that kids that grow up close to these Superfund sites, you know, have a direct link to autism. We can't pinpoint what the chemical is, but we know that kids that grow up near these, and there's a lot of Superfund sites out there. So that's another one that we would go with. And in a personal sense, I would say Crohn's disease is one that with an intestinal inflammation. My wife has Crohn's disease. Once she started changing her diet to nothing but organic, it had gone into remission, and she hasn't had an episode in 7 years. So to me, you know, I would sit back and say, you know, those are the ones that I would feel most closely and very strongly suggesting that that there's a lot of documentation and a lot of research done we can attribute it to.
You've just given us a beautiful segue to what I want to focus on after we take a short break, and that is you mentioned the word organic. How can we protect ourselves from all these chemicals, which are in virtually everything we buy, everything we rub on our skin, everything we eat, everything we ingest, everything we're exposed to? How do we even begin, Ed Brown, to protect ourselves? We'll ask you that when we come back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Very frightening numbers recently that we're now in a situation where one in 68 babies has symptoms. What other health issues are you convinced are directly related to the, what is it, 80,000 chemicals which flow through our system of commerce?
Well, let's think about it. The one really telling statistic is one in every two men and one in every three women will have cancer in their lifetime. That's a staggering statistic to consider. It is one in every four deaths in this country in the United States.
We are talking about chemicals, folks, and growing evidence that so many of the major, major health issues that we're facing are relating to the chemicals in our air, in our water. There's a revolution going on. We have seen it in the banning of pesticides here in the city of London, for example. And again, I want to mention the March Against Monsanto, Pam, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks.
Right. So next week's show, we're going to be covering the March Against Monsanto and the problems with the GMOs. And we're also going to be talking about fluoride. So we're going to be speaking with Dr. James Beck. And so two events on Saturday, May 24th at 1:30 p.m., the March Against Monsanto being held down at Victoria Park. And then following that at 4 p.m. up at King's College in the Vitale Lounge, the Citizens Inquest group here in London is hosting an event where Dr. Beck is going to be Skyped in.
We're in conversation with the movie maker, Ed Brown, who has just produced the movie Unacceptable Levels. Ed, let me just share an observation with you and ask you for your reaction. My sister got married in Strathroy in in the 60s, and every boy over 14 at the wedding reception was handed a package of cigarettes. And boy, if you were to light it up at 14, you could prove to the whole world that you are a man's man. And nobody talked about the chemicals in cigarettes. And of course, we've had quite an education since then. But, Ed, it's taken all these years and still 17% of the population smoke. So in the war against chemicals, Ed, good luck with that.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, let's face it. We as human beings can make some really bad decisions, even whenever we have all the information presented to us, right? We're amazing at that, and we're highly skilled at making awful decisions at times. And so ultimately, for me, yeah, this is a long, it's a climb, and I'm ready to take it, and I'm ready to bring as many people along with me as I can, because it's a vital one, because, you know, even if they handed out cigarettes at a wedding years ago, and it's hard to believe something like that would happen. Kids used to run behind trucks that sprayed DDT, and they thought it was fun because they had this film that covered them and stuff like that, right? I mean, you know.
And we thought leaded gasoline was fine, too.
Okay. What's that?
We thought leaded gasoline was fine, too.
Leaded gasoline was just fine. You know, we used to think lead was okay in a lot of ways. And so, for me, we have to, instead of waiting decades to make these kinds of choices, to understand more about this massive problem that affects every single person on this planet, regardless of your age, your sex, your religion, your creed, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You are still equally as affected by these chemicals as everyone else. And so we've created this massive chemical infrastructure that we're surrounded by. And, it's going to take some time to get out of it. And education is going to be the first
biggest, there's a huge difference between how the governments in Europe are dealing with these chemicals versus how we're dealing with them here in North America. Essentially, there's no precautionary principle that seems to be applied here in North America, but they are respecting the precautionary principle more so in Europe.
Yeah, that's a great point. Europe right now has a standard that's called the REACH program, where they definitely ensure product safety from the get-go, or they work very hard and stridently to achieve that. Just one example, in the European Union, they've banned 1,300 chemicals for use in cosmetics. In the United States, we've only banned 11. Why would something like that happen? Is it that the government doesn't care about us here in the United States? Is it that people just have their better research methods over there in the European Union? I doubt it.
Ed, let me just jump in. I mean, like, our guests regularly drop little bombshells, and people think, I don't think I heard what I just heard. Could you repeat and expound on what you just said about the difference, the dramatic difference, as registered in actual numbers, in the attitude of Europeans towards the danger of chemicals and what action they've taken compared to North America?
Absolutely. Just in cosmetics alone, the European Union has banned over 1,300 chemicals. Banned them. They're not allowed to use them in just cosmetics. In the United States, we've only banned 11.
Wow.
So, that is a staggering difference as far as just sheer numbers are concerned.
What country is leading the way in Europe?
I would always sit back and say that Germany and the UK are doing an amazing job. France is doing an amazing job at it. So I really couldn't pinpoint one without some data to back it up. But all three of those countries are really light years ahead of
in many regards. I tend to be a little blunt when it comes to issues like this. Are we just plain stinking, flimpin' and stupid compared to the Europeans?
Well, I mean, you could think that. You can extrapolate that. Sure. And there's no reason why we shouldn't think that that's the case. However, there is so much, there's such an inordinate amount of pressure on our politicians from the chemical lobby here in the United States, more so than there is in the European Union. Ultimately, that's what's driving this kind of an issue to be, not front and center whenever it comes to every single product that we're buying. And so whenever you have that kind of a lobby, when you have that kind of a pressure, we're all human beings, and unfortunately, trying to find a common middle ground for progress is an extremely, extremely taxing and difficult process.
Well, we could do a whole show on the lobbying in Washington, and we've had some of those people on the air. But I promised our listeners that we would cover this before we let you go in the short time that we have left. How do we even begin, Ed Brown, movie producer and the producer of the movie Unacceptable? How do we even begin to protect ourselves? You're saying that the average woman, when she goes into the bathroom, before she goes off to work, uses how many chemicals?
126 synthetic unique chemicals.
Okay, so you're not suggesting that a woman step into the shower, have a shower, and just put her clothes on and go to work without using any of them.
That is correct. I would sit back and say to everyone, it took steps to get into this problem. It took decades for us to get in this problem. It's going to take decades for us to get back out. What each and every single one of us can do starting right now is pick one thing that you've decided is really, really important, and I'm going to change that, and I'm never going to go back to doing the way I did it. What's great about our consumer-driven and innovative system that we live in here in the States, what's great about where we're at right now is that there are a lot of alternatives to the products that you're buying that are non-toxic, that are organic, and that are green from beginning to end. You have to educate yourself on some labels. You have to educate yourself on chemicals a little bit more so than you're used to. You don't need to be, you don't have to have an advanced degree in chemistry or anything like that to do this. Making common sense, budget-minded decisions and slow incremental ones will get you to the place that you need to be decades later for each and every single one of us.
If there was one body product that we all use that we should start with and getting rid of it, you've got me going through my morning bathroom habits. I basically use two things. I use soap and I use deodorant. I think, a little hairspray, Andy, come on, let's be honest. Where should I start in terms of getting rid of chemicals that may be threatening my health?
People are going to hate this, but I would always start with deodorant. And you're going to say, many people are going to be like, well, I'm going to stink all day. I'm going to sweat all day. What am I supposed to do? I can't start with deodorant, right? But, you know, this is an incredible organ for detoxing your body, which is your armpits. And what we're doing is stopping those toxins from coming out of us by using an antiperspirant. So I would sit back and say, you need to find an alternative that's going to be really healthy, that's effective and non-toxic. Your deodorant is where I would absolutely start, number one.
Oh, yeah. You can make your own deodorant. There's lots of recipes you can look for online, and they're based out of things like either coconut oil or baking soda. So there's natural ways to make your own.
Okay. Come on. How many people do you know, Pam Colleen,
I know a lot of people who do
in the morning and mix up their own coconut oil deodorant?
A lot of people who do that, Andy. Honestly, I do.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, hey, listen, I just want to bring up as well, we have a mutual friend, Ed, and his name is Dr. Paul Connett, and you feature him in the movie as well.
Yeah, he was magnanimous. I absolutely love his passion, and Paul was really, really excited to do this. And I remember the shoot vividly when we were talking about fluoride. We went to the municipal water facility there in upstate in New York where he lives. And it was a lot of fun, and Paul was amazing. Please tell him I said hello.
Well, he's a hero. He's a hero to many of us in London, and he's going to come back, and he's going to convince even the city of London, Ontario, to get fluoride out of the water. We have just a couple of moments, Ed Brown. Can you wrap this all up, put it in a little box, and put a bow on it? What's the takeaway from this hour that you've so generously spent with us?
Don't ever feel like we're hopeless. This is a massive challenge that each and every one of us faces. That's the truth. But don't ever feel like it's hopeless. Don't ever feel like, why should I bother doing anything? I'm just going to die anyway. Well, you want to live well. You want to live well for our children. Each and every single one of us wants that. And that's our goal. And that's our perspective. And that should be the reason why we do every single thing we do every day. And so ultimately, we can find ourselves out of this problem. It's going to collectively take all of us to do it, literally all of us to do it. And I know that we can. We can accomplish anything we want to. We should feel inspired by that. All of us should feel great about that. If we can get ourselves in this problem, there's absolutely zero doubt in my mind that we can get ourselves right back out of it as well.
Now, I want to direct people to a couple of websites. Number one is your website, Ed, which is unacceptablelevels.com. But here in Canada, you're also affiliated with a group here in Canada that is working on a lot of these issues, and it is called Environmental Defense, environmentaldefense.ca. So there are ways people can get more information, become more involved as well.
Okay.
That's a fact. Yep.
I've got 15 seconds, and I just want to have a fun little exercise with you. Just give me a yes or no. No comment. These are the products that I use in the morning. I haven't been totally honest. Give me a totally honest answer. Yes or no. I have no concerns. You have no concerns whatsoever about chemicals in number one, Dove soap. Yes or no. Yes or no, Ed?
Yes, I have concerns.
Okay. Deodorant.
Yes, absolutely.
Toothpaste.
Yes.
Cologne.
Yeah.
I'm going.
There's toxins in all of those products.
I'm going to Elmer, and I'm going to live with the Amish. I mean, where do you even start? My goodness, Ed Brown, it's been a real pleasure having you. Congratulations on your new movie.
Let's see if we can get it down at Highland Theater too. I'd love to see it aired down at Highland Theater here in London. That would be fantastic.
Ed, we always envy in radio people with names you can spell and pronounce. Is your name really Ed Brown?
it's not quite a Hollywood kind of name, but it's true. That's it.
Well, God bless you for your mom for giving you a name that you've never had to spell in your entire life. Ed Brown, how do you forget a name like that? Thank you so much, Ed Brown.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure.
Thanks,
okay,
Ed.
I got a quick email I got to read here about our discussion. I do, says Carolyn. I don't know. It must be about a product we use in the morning.
Next week's show is a big show because we're going to be talking about GMOs and we're going to be talking about fluoride. And this is leading up to Saturday, May 24th, a very busy day in London for activism. So at 1:30 p.m. at Victoria Park, there's the March Against Monsanto. And at 4 p.m. at King's College in the Vitale Lounge, there's going to be a talk about fluoride by the Citizens Inquest.
Okay. And I got a favor to ask you. Will you in the next month invite me for coffee, because all my farm friends have just said, I'm not having Andy over for coffee. I mean, the way he went after Monsanto, I'll tell you. March Against Monsanto is coming up real soon. 11 o'clock news. When we come back, there's a parade, and everybody loves a parade. And a